Hey, it's Greg Lauer, another episode of Bite Size Wise Podcast, picking up with our series on the Four Noble Truths of the Buddha and the Eightfold Path. Today's episode talking about whole and proper, or accurate and complete, or what might also be called right, diligence, and effort. And the idea here is we're trying to develop our wholesome qualities and release our unwholesome qualities. Now, there are four aspects to this idea. One of those is the effort to strengthen the wholesome qualities we already have, the effort to cultivate wholesome qualities that we do not yet have, and then on the flip side of that, the effort to release unwholesome qualities that we may have, and the effort to prevent unwholesome qualities that we don't have yet. Now, one of the interesting things that I ran across as I was beginning to study this was a teaching from the Zen Buddhist master Thich Nhat Hanh, who just passed away at age 95. He was a Vietnamese Zen Buddhist monk, considered one of the venerables, just passed away at age 95, wrote dozens and dozens of books teaching on different Buddhist ideas and practices. And he put this entire thing into a little bit of a cool perspective, in my opinion, by saying, quote, "If your practice does not bring you joy, then you are not practicing correctly," end quote. So and the more I thought about that, the more I thought, well, yeah, that it should have gone without saying, because if our whole and proper, accurate, complete, perfect, perfected diligence and effort, they should be nourishing to us and joy, causing joy. Otherwise, they're just causing more dukkha, more suffering, more anguish, more anger, more anxiety, more depression, more separation from the joyful. So that should have gone without saying, but it's been my experience that everything that should have gone without saying is the kind of thing we needed to have said the most. Now, the historical Buddha supposedly also taught that there are five hindrances, five things that get in the way of our whole and proper diligence and effort. These are sensual desire, seeking pleasure simply for the sake of seeking pleasure. And yes, you could make a case that a pleasurable moment is wonderful, and seeking pleasure for the sake of enjoying that pleasure might be a good thing, but that also carries with it the implication that now we have become attached to that pleasure somehow, whether it's an emotional attachment or a mental attachment. If it begins to become something of an addiction to us and we've surrendered our control, then we've most definitely become attached to that, and that is simply going to cause more of that suffering, that anxiety, that anxiousness, that dukkha. Another of the five hindrances is our ill will towards others. So if we have any sort of bad thoughts towards others, or do something out of some sort of motive to harm another, that definitely gets in the way of whole and proper diligence. Or laziness, torpor, sloth, drowsiness. That should not even need any additional commentary. The one that really gets to me is restlessness and worry. And I used to see these as outgrowths of my anxiety, outgrowths of whatever depression I was suffering at the time. But I'm trying to see these in their own light and not as an outgrowth of anxiety, but as a separate category similar to my anxiety. I'm not too open about it very often because I don't want people thinking I'm just trying to draw attention to myself. But I occasionally suffer from disabling anxiety and have had the occasional panic attack, have had some significant depression issues in the past. And I used to see being restless and worrying about things as simply outgrowths of that anxiety and depression, but now I'm trying to see them as maybe peers or colleagues or siblings to my anxiety. And it's easy to be restless. It's easy to focus on too many things or not enough things, no things, and to worry about things that may or may not happen, actually. But that's one of those things where we need to learn to set it aside, and that's part of the reason for a practice in mindfulness and meditation. Here in the last couple weeks, I have been working just 2 minutes a day on some mindful breathing meditation, and already I can feel a difference in a reduction in the number of times I'm having anxiety. When it comes, it still comes heavy duty, but it's coming less frequently. And when it does, I am learning that I can do 2 minutes of mindfulness breathing meditation and just try to focus on breathing in and breathing out, and that helps. And the last of the five hindrances is uncertainty or skepticism. And it's okay to be uncertain of something, especially if you're walking into completely unfamiliar territory. But what these words mean, I have been learning these words mean taking uncertainty to an unhealthy degree and allowing that uncertainty to sort of rule over or take over our judgment. Or skepticism, not for a healthy reason of wanting to validate what's being told to us or something like that, but sometimes we can be skeptical in a very harmful way, such as when a family member says they want to try out a new hobby, or they have an interesting business idea, or they've been exposed to a business idea. We can easily be skeptical, and we tell ourselves we're doing it from the right motivation. We tell ourselves we're doing that because we want to protect them or keep them from being taken advantage of, when the net result is typically just stomping all over their dreams or taking away their enthusiasm for a new idea instead of offering support, or at least enough support for someone being willing to take a risk. If somebody that I know or somebody that I love is willing to take a risk on a new business, I will immediately support their idea. I don't care if I think it's the dumbest business idea imaginable. And usually, I don't think anything of that sort. But usually, I think any new business is worth exploring. So I will be very supportive of somebody like that. Now, one of the cool things about these hindrances is the better we get at practicing the Eightfold Path, the easier it is to work around or work over or work through or get past these hindrances and focus more on the whole and proper diligence and effort of going through the Eightfold Path, learning things like meditation, learning things like right speech, proper livelihood, learning things like the accurate complete actions, learning things like doing things from the right intention. The more we do this, the easier it gets. It's practices like every other new skill or every other new practice. It's just that these practices come from a philosophical baseline where we are trying to eventually get to a point of enlightenment and awakening, what has been popularly called a nirvana. We're trying to get there where we understand the true nature of reality, and we're released from our misconceptions, and we're released from our suffering, our pain, our anxiety, our anxiousness. We're released from those things. So whole and proper diligence and effort. Let's see how we can begin to apply that to the rest of the framework we've already talked about and the rest of the framework to come. So until next time, if you do find some value in the podcast, please share with a friend. Hit that subscribe button so you can get every episode. And then feel free to leave a rating and review. In fact, if you have an extra minute or less of your time, I would appreciate a rating and review over on Apple Podcasts. That feedback will help me improve the show. And if you have good feedback, I obviously would appreciate that, but that will also help others find the show too. So until next time, I hope you have a wonderful day or evening or night, whenever you're listening to this. It's been Greg Lauer, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.